Save big money when you shop at Menards. Transform your home in one weekend with exterior wood stain and sealer from Dutch Boy. It provides one coat protection on decks, fences, siding, and outdoor furniture. It repels rain after just 4 hours of application. That means quicker results, saving you both time and money. Our knowledgeable team is ready to help bring your dreams to life, 1 gallon at a time. Stop by your local Menards today. Save big.
Welcome to Nutrition for Me on UK Health Radio, your global feel-good radio. I'm Dora Walsh, nutritionist and functional medicine practitioner. Today's show is brought to you in association with Revive Active, our show sponsor, Ireland's number one super supplement brand. Enjoy Revive Active's range of super supplements and feel great. We've teamed up to provide UK Health Radio listeners with 15% off their range, so you can try it for yourself. Just go to reviveactive.com and use Radio 15 to see what feeling super is all about. Well, this week we need to talk about CoQ10 because we do talk about things like vitamin C and vitamin D, and we've all heard of calcium and zinc. And when we turn on the TV, we also see people talking about protein and other nutrients, but we don't often talk about CoQ10, which is crazy, as this super antioxidant can make a profound difference to our health. So what is CoQ10 and how can this important nutrient make a difference to our health? You might have heard about the efficacy of CoQ10 in face cream. However, this amazing molecule is also taken as a nutritional supplement and has numerous far-reaching health benefits, many of which people still don't know about. Coenzyme Q10 or CoQ10 is a powerful nutrient that occurs naturally in our body and is found in virtually all cells. It acts as an antioxidant which protects cells from damage and plays an important part in our metabolism. You can also find it in certain foods, and we're going to talk about that in our show today, as well as all the ways that we can use CoQ10 to support our health. Here to share her wisdom is Nicola Sainty, Education Manager at Revive Active. You can find out more about Revive Active on their website, reviveactive.com, and follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Nicola is a nutritional therapist as well as a digital health program producer. Welcome to the show. Before we go into our interview, can you share with us how you came to be an expert in nutrition and also working as an education manager at Revive Active?
We all have a few pivotal points in life, don't we, where we have to stop and reflect on our own health condition, our own health journey. And certainly for me, I think there was 2 points in life. I think one of my particular wake-up calls that my health wasn't in the best shape was when I was really struggling to conceive for about 5 years. And it was only through my own research and changing my lifestyle and what I ate, I absolutely then embraced and knew the power of nutrition and dietary and lifestyle changes. Once I managed to successfully conceive, and today I'm really proud to say that I've got a daughter who's almost 13, and so that's a wonderful personal journey for me. I think the second wake-up call really came when I got a diagnosis of a grade 4 brain tumor completely out of the blue, but then obviously knowing what I know now, I don't really think anything comes out of the blue. And it was seeing that degeneration and that which spurred me on to actually go back and retrain professionally into becoming a nutritional therapist, which I absolutely love doing, and obviously sharing my knowledge and wisdom with others. And, you know, that is that key education, isn't it, in how we can help empower others with their own health. So for me, working as education manager at Revive Active is just fabulous because it's such a wonderful synergy. And, you know, to be able to put kind of, you know, the power of the training into the internal team and also support retailers. And now as we expand globally as well, working with international partners, it's just wonderful to be able to talk about health and how obviously we can enhance that always in a food first approach. But of course, as well, when we need to top up with our supplements as well.
You must be in your element talking about nutrition, your favorite subject.
I love it. You know, when you feel just so passion, that, you know, in-depth passion, and you've got fire in your belly. Yep, I can honestly say that I absolutely love my job.
I'm excited to be talking to you this week about CoQ10. We need to talk about it, Nicola, because as I said in our intro, so many people know about vitamin C and D, well-known nutrients, also calcium and zinc or protein, carbohydrates, fats. People are really learning about nutrition, but they don't know enough about this amazing antioxidant of CoQ10 and what it can do for us. So why, in your opinion, do we need to talk about CoQ10?
Exactly like you said, Dora, you know, we don't talk about it. And I think if you ask people about CoQ10, it's not widely known, but this is a substance that's found right throughout our body. And like you quite rightly said in the introduction, it's in every single cell of our body except red blood cells. So that should already kind of tell us the high need that we have for this substance. And also, like you said, we can naturally produce it as well and extract it from food. But I think the key thing is, with it being everywhere, it plays this key role in energy production and also acts as an antioxidant. And so it's got these two key primary functions in the body where if we were not able to create enough CoQ10, that's when we start to feel fatigue. And then obviously if that's feel fatigued, you know, we don't exercise as much, etc. And then everything that we do, just from breathing, from eating, and just going about life in general, we're creating oxidation all the time within our body. And it's a natural process, but then we've got the CoQ10 creating the energy for us, but then helping us keep well inside and protecting ourselves, if you like, in our body from that oxidation process. And I think, just to kind of put it in perspective, when we're looking in the mirror, we always see one person, one individual. But I like to always think of our body as just this mass of cells. And it's estimated, isn't it, anywhere between, I think it's 30 trillion to 60 trillion cells make up the human body. And so let's say about 40 to 50 trillion cells. I think once we've got to those kind of numbers, we can lose a couple of trillion. But if we have got this substance in abundance, and we need it in abundance in every single cell, and we've got 40 to 50 trillion of these cells, which signifies that huge need for CoQ10. And I think it should be something that's on everybody's lips when we start to look at the key functionalities and where it can support somebody's health as well.
Tell us about the mitochondria. Has it got anything to do with the mitochondria, the powerhouse of our cells?
Absolutely. And so when we're looking at we've just talked about the cells, and we've maybe got 40 to 50 trillion of these cells. And so within each of these cells, we have got lots of little mitochondria. Mitochondria are like, if we imagine them as kidney-shaped little organelles. And again, if we just picture in our minds about a human body, and we've got the organs that sit within the human body, the heart, the liver, the pancreas, etc. And then we think of these little cells in our body that have got these mini organelles. And these mini organelles help the cell function, that ultimately help us function. And it's one of those mini organelles that's called the mitochondria. And for these little kidney-shaped organelle, this is really what we liken to call the powerhouse of the cell. And so really for me, this, I imagine this is a little factory that's going full steam ahead when it's working really well, and it's creating all of this energy for us. And this is really where CoQ10 is highly concentrated, in these little powerhouse mitochondrial organelles, and that's producing the energy for us all the time. And the upshot really is, Dora, that if we don't have enough CoQ10, i.e. we can't meet the demand of our body, then simply, you know, we cannot produce energy. It's like a rate limiting factor. But that's also when we start to really feel fatigued, or might be exercising, and then suddenly we feel like, you know, our legs go like a dead weight. And so, you know, there's many reasons, but ultimately it's like the spark of life is energy that we produce, often referred to as ATP, which I'm sure some of your listeners will be familiar with.
If we don't have that CoQ10, if we don't have enough of it, it's going to affect our energy production. And some people might be wondering, oh, don't I feel well? Is it because I'm getting older? Is it because I'm this or I'm that? And it could simply be that they don't have enough of this nutrient in their diet, as well as many other things.
Absolutely. And I think you've just hit on a key thing there, that just touching on A, and then we also think about the organs in our body that have got such a high energy demand. So primarily we're thinking about the heart. And if we think about the heart, it's really, really incredible. It beats around, for the average person, around 80 beats a minute. And obviously for an athlete, we know that we'll have many beats less per minute, sometimes between 40 and 60, but for the average person, about 80. And so it just in one day, our heart beating about 100,000 times, and that equates to about 35 million heartbeats over a year. And then if we average that over a lifetime, that equates to more than 2.5 billion times. And so if we think of that energy output, that really high, dense need for that energy output and that mitochondria to be firing on all cylinders, purely just for the heart we're talking now. And then when we think of the liver, very high energy use, we're thinking of kidneys, pancreas, the lungs, all of these major organs all need ATP, this energy, to be able to function and obviously ultimately help our body work to its optimal effect. And then if we think about as we age, our organs are slightly age along with us naturally. And then we're not perhaps producing as much CoQ10 as we had done, say, like in our early 20s. So it's quite well studied that from about the age of 30, our CoQ10 stores and our ability to make CoQ10 starts to deplete, and particularly and significantly within the heart. And so we've got this highest energy demand organ where we've got this significant draw of this energy production in about happening about age 30, declining. And so that's kind of obviously that mitochondrial need for this CoQ10, and we've got this CoQ10 depletion. And so that's when we can start to feel like we can't exercise perhaps as well. Maybe we're starting to get a little bit more breathless. We get that bit more of that lower energy. We can feel it when we're waking up, etc. And then if we look at the liver, the kidneys and the lungs, for instance, they also start to decline and kind of sort of like that 40 plus age bracket. And then certainly from 60 plus in the lungs as well. And then if we think about that 60 plus and we start to think about perhaps when we might be more susceptible for maybe infections and things like that, that would make sense because we've just not got enough CoQ10 to keep those cells fueled and fired. And obviously, if we think about what we need energy for, not just for us to function, we think about the internal functions such as the immune system as well.
What other factors can lead to the depletion of CoQ10? Like, for example, we do make it, but then can also get it from foods, can't we? Could it be due to poor diet that you deplete our CoQ10?
Definitely. And I think you've hit on a really key thing there, Dora, because there's quite a few things, as we said, that can deplete this CoQ10. I mean, we've got age, this major factor where we're not producing enough. But then we've got those external factors. So we've got the dietary choices. And so if we think about CoQ10, and the highest concentrations of CoQ10 for us in food are really in our organ meat. So those animal sources. And if we think about our diet now, we don't tend to eat many organ meats. I know sometimes it's quite popular in certain types of diet and cultures, but certainly here in the UK, we don't tend to now migrate towards organ meat, like perhaps our grandparents used to say generations ago, when they knew it was such a nutrient-dense food, it was often served. I mean, I remember my mum actually trying to serve me liver, and I was like, oh my God, no, I can't eat liver, blah, blah. But now I suppose knowing what I know why, obviously, that, you know, this is such a nutrient-dense food and why it was trying to be served. But I think we could probably look, couldn't we, our current diet now, and if we not eat in organ meats, then perhaps, you know, liver patty, for instance, is much more acceptable to us. But obviously, we've got those animal sources in terms of organ meats. We've got the, you know, the chicken muscle, we've got the beef muscle. So basically, meat eaters can extract quite a bit from CoQ10 from meat. Then we've got fatty fish sources, so such as like salmon, your cod, your halibut, your sardines, etc. And so that's the most richest sources in animal tissue. And so if we think about perhaps vegan, vegetarian diet, obviously we might not be getting as much as we actually would want to be able to take in. And we can still find 10 in vegetarian vegan sources. So things such as peanuts, pistachios, for instance, we've got fruits such as strawberries, we've got avocados, green vegetables. And so we can find it in much, much lesser amount. And so really, I think, you know, as we could couple those factors together, couldn't we, with aging, that if we are getting a bit older and we're eating a vegetarian or a vegan diet especially, then we might want to consider, are we getting enough from our food source as well? Because as you and I know, Dora, we've been nutritional therapists, it's all about not the food that we're eating, but it's how much can we actually extract that nutrition from that food that we're eating, how easily are we able to break that food down to be able to absorb all of that nutrition from there as well. And then I think, you know, we'll probably end up talking about other things, but if we look at the like comorbidities, for example, you know, we might have something or develop something like diabetes type 2, for instance, which can deplete our CoQ10 levels. We might be taking certain medications, which may have an effect on our CoQ10 levels as well. We might have genetics playing a factor. So we've got all of these, if you like, these multiplying factors that can affect our ability to be able to manufacture our own CoQ10 and extract it as well from food sources.
We're talking with Nicola Sainty, Education Manager, Revive Active, also a nutritional therapist, about why we need to talk about CoQ10. And we're going to be talking a lot more about that after a few messages from our commercial partners.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
You're listening to Dora Walls on the Nutrition For Me show on UK Health Radio, your global feel-good radio, talking with Nicola Sainty, Education Manager at Revive Active. You can find out more about them on reviveactive.com. And this week, we're talking about CoQ10 and why we need it. So many people know about all the other supplements that are out there, but they don't know the importance of CoQ10. So Nicola's telling us all about it in the show so we can learn how to support our health and our energy system. Nicola, we've talked about why we need to talk about CoQ10. It's in all our cells. It's so important for our energy metabolism. Without it, we produce energy. We need it. More people need to know about that because there are many things that we can do to support our levels of CoQ10, which we're talking about today. And we need to avoid this depletion and make up for it. How was CoQ10 first discovered?
Yes, I think it's really interesting, actually, because it was at 1957. There was a doctor called Dr. Frederick Crane, and what he was doing, he was trying to establish, if you like, how we produced energy in the cells in the mitochondria. And it was an unknown substance at this time. And so he was actually carrying out research on beef heart. And it was from, you know, dissecting that, leaving that for a while, that he actually discovered there was an orange substance that, you know, was everywhere, if you like, within it. And he didn't know what this orange substance was. And so he actually then sent that off to Dr. Karl Borkers. And he was actually a renowned chemist, and he's been famously credited with the identification of vitamin B12. And so he wanted to obviously work with him to try and get to the bottom of what was this orange substance that he'd found everywhere within this heart tissue. And so it was Dr. Karl Borkers then who really found out what that compound was, what its, if you like, chemical makeup was in 1958. And so it was from then, when they actually determined the chemical structure, they could then go back and look at the energy cycle and, if you like, complete that piece of work in terms of how we create energy through the mitochondria and sort of like that chain process that needs to happen within that little organelle. And so, you know, it's quite outstanding really that we've got over six decades of research on CoQ10. And, you know, when we kind of look at CoQ10, we always shorten it to CoQ10, and thank God that we do, Dora, because it's got a really, really long chemical name, which I'm not even going to try and pronounce. But CoQ10 is also known as ubiquinone. And like you said, it's because it's known to be everywhere in the body. So it's ubiquitous right throughout the body. And that's come from the Latin word for ubique, which means everywhere. So if we just think of CoQ10, ubiquitous, everywhere in the body. But CoQ10 also exists in two forms, as it's been found. So it exists as ubiquinone that we've just said, and ubiquinol. And then between those two forms, it shifts into a third form, which is like an intermediate form. And so we're constantly shifting between the two forms via this intermediate step.
I can see now why you said that, you know, our grandparents used to eat these organ meats and that's how they were getting their CoQ10. And that's where it was found. It was found in beef's heart from that research that scientist was doing. But as you said, we don't really eat like our grandparents did anymore, do we?
Exactly, Dora. And, you know, you and I touched on this, didn't we, when we were talking about collagen a couple of months ago. And again, we know that the organ meats are such a rich source of nutrients, the fat-soluble vitamins, of minerals, we've got collagen in there, and obviously we've got CoQ10 really densely packed. But of course, again, there's not many of us that like the organ meat. And so I just think, as I mentioned slightly earlier, that, you know, pate, most of us will tend to eat pate, obviously, if we're a meat eater. And certainly we tend to more around Christmas, don't we? Or it might be around sort of special celebration. So the chicken liver pate, for instance. So I think that's a great way to be able to get that in if you can't, you know, face the thought of actually just eating the organ as it is. I know that some people make stews with it, etc. But yes, I think as well, you know, the other thing that we've got there, isn't it, is that probably our grandparents, they ate predominantly whole food diets that they would have been getting, wouldn't they, you know, this CoQ10 from, you know, the meats with the fatty fish, with obviously the vegetables. And I think one of the issues we've got now, and again, linking back to we probably can't get enough CoQ10 from food, is that I did some research actually on ultra-processed foods and the consumption in the UK. And the figure at 2022 was 50% of household purchases in the UK was ultra-processed food. You know, so we're not going to find CoQ10 in there. So for me, that's already a massive flag and signal that we're not taking enough of this substance in for the actual output that we need to be producing.
My mum used to cook me up kidneys and liver, even tongue, actually. And I just couldn't bear the thought of it. And I look back now like you did, and I remember, you know, that would have been a good thing for my CoQ10 stores. But even now as a nutritionist, I can't get my head around it. And, you know, it's hard to have a healthy diet sometimes. So it is important to think about where we're getting these different forms of nutrients into our diet. We have to think about it in this really calculated way, because all of these little efforts about what we're eating, what supplements we're taking, they make a difference to how we're feeling and our energy. So it is important to think, how is your diet? Is it like your grandparents? If not, what do you need to do to get it more like your grandparents? And if you can't and you suffer a lot of stress, then think about potentially supplementing CoQ10. How would we supplement? You talked about the foods. So you talked about the organ meats, if people can manage to get that into their diet. You talked about the fatty fish. You talked about vegetables. Said it, you could get it also for vegans and vegetarians. They might get some CoQ10 from peanuts and pistachios, but they probably wouldn't get loads, so they could be potentially deficient. How would these people get more of the CoQ10 into their diet? How could they plan their diet to have, you know, maybe explain what a plate would look like? And then also, how could they supplement to up their levels of CoQ10, and how much should they be supplementing?
I think that's an excellent point, Dora. So yes, I think for vegan, vegetarian, I think if I was just going to do a blanket and just say that it should always be a whole food diet where we can, because even if we say we're vegan or vegetarian, sometimes we have that perception that actually we're eating much healthier, when that might not be the case at all. We could take that as, you know, a wheat-based breakfast, a cereal-based breakfast with a sandwich for lunch, which is kind of the average in the UK. Then it might be a pasta and at dinner. And so actually we've just eaten wheat in three different forms and four meals in the same day. So, you know, it's not necessarily a healthy diet unless we're eating that whole food diet. And so if we're able to, you know, allergy aside, you know, and kind of get those lovely healthy salads in with the legumes, with the sprinkling of pistachios or nut flour, we've got the peanut butter. And then I think that would really just try and help bring some CoQ10 in from foods. But ultimately, again, I think the volume that we would have to eat to be able to extract and utilize that CoQ10 available in that food, and I just don't think it'd be enough. And like you say, I think that's where supplementation can be really, really supportive. And again, I know that we mentioned it earlier, but if we just couple that with age as well, you know, as we age, we've got to think we're just not producing this substance in enough quantity. And to keep that heart strong, to keep it beating, you know, to its maximum capacity, I think it is worth looking at a supplement, and can that actually enhance, you know, your life, your energy output, etc., and your health overall. And, you know, there's quite a lot that's bandied about in terms of CoQ10 supplements. And I just said that it existed in two different forms, which is ubiquinone and ubiquinol. And so we've got those two different forms. If we just think very simply that ubiquinone, the CoQ10, the form that was found in the heart tissue, that is really used in the energy cycle, the mitochondria. So if this thing would be ubiquinone energy, we think ubiquin as the antioxidant factor. And that's what you said right at the beginning of the show. And so the ubiquinol really helps protect ourselves from this oxidation process. And so I would always think, what are you trying to achieve with your health goal? But also not to get too hung up on the different forms, because like I said, there's this intermediate step where the CoQ10 changes very quickly in seconds between these forms, constantly with every single cell within the body. And so it's constantly changing from constant. And so it's just more about getting it in, so we've got that supply of the raw material so it's able to work where it's needed. So if it's needed as ubiquinol to be working in that process, it will be changed. If it's needed as ubiquinol to be working with nantioxin, it will work in that process. So it's just really about getting it into the body. And I think from our perspective, in terms of Revive Active, we've got ubiquinol. And so we've got that in the Revive Active formula. And the beauty of that is that it's got the other 25 synergistic ingredients wrapped around it to really help support the energy production. So thinking about all the B vitamins, the vitamin C, which actually works in beautiful synergy with CoQ10, because CoQ10 helps recycle vitamin C. We know vitamin C is a really good antioxidant as well. And then vitamin C helps recycle the CoQ10. So beautiful synergy there as well. And then if we think about ubiquinol, in terms of taking that in as a standalone soft gel capsule, we do that in an oil form. And so that's also really well absorbed in the body as well. And so we're thinking about that protection against oxidative stress. But ultimately, for me, it's just about getting it in and getting it in to your day and your lifestyle, however works easiest for you. And in terms of dosage, the NIH actually say that there's an observed safety level, OSR, of 1,002 mg a day, but that's a lot, because actually you'll find that CoQ10 can be expensive as well if you go out there shopping. But in our Revive Active formula, we've got 150 mg, so a really good dosage of CoQ10 in there. And then in our standalone ubiquinol in the soft gel capsule, we've got 100 mg. And so we've got some great dosages in there. And I think that if you go out and do your own independent research, that I would recommend that everybody always does, is that you'll see that 100 mg seems to be about the dosage where, you know, they've looked at efficacy and in terms of helping people with certain health conditions and supporting the body for obviously from the inside out.
Now, with your Revive Active range, that's your multi-nutrient. And in that, you've got the 150 mg in there of your CoQ10 alongside all of those other supporting nutrients like the B vitamins, the C vitamin C, etc. And then you also, as you mentioned, have that standalone one. So if somebody was just thinking, I just want to up my levels of CoQ10, I want to support my heart health, I want more energy, and I just want to focus on that one thing, then that is the ubiquinol CoQ10 liquid capsule. Is that right? 100 milligrams per capsule.
That's right, Dory. Yes. And so that's just super easy, isn't it? Because, you know, obviously you can just take that in. When you are taking CoQ10, I would take that alongside a meal or with a meal, because CoQ10 is quite a big molecule. And so it's better absorbed alongside food. So if you are taking the standalone ubiquinol, I'd probably take that breakfast to get obviously benefit from that, or lunchtime. It's probably something I'd avoid taking at nighttime before bed, because if it works, and obviously then it starts to replete those stores of CoQ10. Obviously, we want the energy function from it. We want the antioxidant function from it as well. So I'd certainly be taking that in the earlier part of the day alongside food for maximum absorption. And if you are taking the Revive Active formula, I'd probably again be taking that just before breakfast or alongside breakfast, again, to get that full spectrum of benefits, if you like, from all the nutrients that's in there. And I think just one thing, actually, Dora, just to link up into what you said at the beginning, right at the beginning, which is really interesting, is that you said about CoQ10 in face cream. And so I think a lot of us probably have seen that visually, and then we don't necessarily always connect things up. And so the skin, again, is a very hungry tissue and regenerates spores at a fast process. And again, we can see, can't we, physically in the mirror, that this decline happens, obviously, as we start to age. And linking back to obviously talking about collagen before, and we also see the decline with age. I think if somebody was really thinking, you know what, I just want to take CoQ10, then I think that standalone would be absolutely beautiful, and link that up with the beauty complex that we talked about in a previous show. But again, going back to what is your specific health goal, because that would be a beautiful combination there in terms of that oxidative protection, obviously helping that skin regenerate. And so on. So I think, what are you trying to achieve? You know, which form do you prefer to take it? And ultimately, it's about getting that in there. And I would always say alongside food.
It's great to hear that you can add that ubiquinol standalone liquid capsule to the beauty complex, which I absolutely love. And I would love to look more beautiful, Nicola. So I'll definitely be adding on the ubiquinol and maximizing my energy. But it's good to know that, you know, you can also, by the sounds of it, also combine it with the Revive Active, which is your multi-nutrient formula, which already contains the CoQ10, but it's okay to add a bit more on top if you want to give yourself a boost.
Yes, I definitely say so, because, you know, according to the NIH, the observed safety level OSR is 1,200 mg a day. But again, you know, that's obviously excessive in my eye. And as I say, it's not, if you buy it in standalone form and you go out shopping, you'll see that it is quite a pricey supplement. I think ours a brilliant value when you wrap it into sort of like, you know, those 25 additional ingredients, and people will probably go out and do their own comparative shops. And for the standalone month supply that we've got of ubiquinol, that's at $29.95. And I know that you have a special offer on for your readers as well, obviously with our supplement. So I think that you could obviously take a Revive Active if you wanted to in the morning to really get your stores up, and then bandy that with, say, the standalone ubiquinol later on in the day. That might be at lunchtime, or it could be just before dinner, so that you've really kind of got that, if you like, bulk and braces approach, depending obviously on your own health and what you're trying to achieve. And you'd certainly be within safe dosages there as well to be able to take that. Plus, obviously, you're taking the two different forms and you could see what works for you. If you really wanted to kind of go at your CoQ10 for a few months and do that, you could. But again, sometimes it's down to, you know, our own routine, how we like to work supplements in. Remembering to take supplements, I think, is one of the biggest things that challenges us all, you know, and budget and, you know, kind of, you know, do we want to just take one formula, or are we really trying to say, like you said, support skin health in terms of beauty, or do we really want to ramp up our energy stores? So that would look lovely with Revive Active and the standalone ubiquinol.
It's great to know what you can do, but obviously if somebody just wanted to go for one of the supplements, that's fine as well. And as you mentioned, we do have that special offer of 15% off for UK Health Radio listeners. All you need to do is go to the website reviveactive.com. You choose which supplement you want, you add it to your basket, and then you add in Radio 15 at the checkout as your discount code, and you'll get 15% off. So really, that does provide a lot of value if you want to give it a go. I highly recommend it. What about, we've talked about energy. We've also talked about people that are wanting to maximize their use and they're looking fresh and beauty, nutrition, and how CoQ10 can support us in that in terms of the antioxidants, et cetera, and cellular renewal. We did talk about energy, but what about chronic fatigue? Would you ever use this in your clients that have chronic fatigue?
Yes, absolutely, Doran. I think that's a fantastic key point. I think there's currently around 250,000 people diagnosed with chronic fatigue syndrome. And again, you know, that's only diagnosed. That's not necessarily suffering with it and not being diagnosed yet. So I think that this, you know, is quite a huge opportunity for people to know that when we are super, super fatigued, that we're really, again, looking at the core many factors, but we're always looking at the mitochondria. And so we're going back to the mitochondria, those little organelles that are producing that energy for us are not producing enough in the case of this chronic fatigue. And so what we're trying to do, of course, is up that production. And so by supplying that CoQ10 to give the mitochondria, if you like, I was thinking of it like fuel for the fire, and then being able to stoke the fire to get that maximum heat, the output. And so that's how I really look at taking it. You know, and it's getting that factory, that powerhouse working and firing all cylinders again for us. It's so difficult, isn't it, when we've got, you know, this chronic fatigue and everything seems like an effort. You know, even lifting things, walking might seem like an effort. And certainly the thought of exercising might just be like an absolute witch off for us. And so just to be able to provide that additional fuel for the fire, and just to help the mitochondria gently start to produce more energy again and give it the raw materials, ultimately is what we're doing. I think it would be super, super supportive for people that would be suffering with any fatigue, and there's particularly chronic fatigue, you know, and there's plenty of clinical studies out there as well in support of that. And so I think when we're looking at any mitochondrial downregulation or any mitochondrial dysfunction, I think CoQ10 is really at the heart of supporting that individual.
So many people are suffering from fibromyalgia these days. I know for my clients, when they come, I'm always using CoQ10 for those with fibro, chronic fatigue, etc., I can see it makes a dramatic difference to them, and they start to feel that energy coming back. So it really gives them hope, because sometimes people with these conditions, they can kind of lose hope a bit and they give up and then they don't make the effort and then the diet goes downhill. But it does make a difference. What about people, what about CoQ10, how it can potentially support our vision or brain health and our teeth? What can it do for us in those areas?
As you say, Dora, it's got many supportive ways within the body. And so in eye health, it's well studied in terms of degenerative eye health, particularly in the retina. So I think if, you know, vision is a key focus for you, or perhaps you might have seen some degeneration a bit earlier in your family history, and you're always thinking about what to protect your eyes and give it, obviously, you know, that energy that it needs to be able to function well. You might be thinking about night vision. When we start to, you know, be squinting, perhaps we always think, don't we, of beta carotene, because our grandmas always said, you know, we must eat carrots. And of course, absolutely, beta carotene is super important. But we need, again, to give the fuel for the fire to be able to work as well. So well studied in terms of eye health, well studied in terms of oral health. And so in dentistry for quite some time now. And so when we're thinking about things like gingivitis and that gum degeneration. So when we're thinking about some degeneration or degenerative, we're thinking about CoQ10. What's going to help regenerate that tissue? And so we know that in gingivitis, obviously, we've got maybe that those gums receding, and then we've got that overtake of those bad bacteria that's obviously giving off those toxic gases. And so when we're CoQ10, that will really help the gums regenerate all the tissue. And then, like I alluded to earlier, we've got this beautiful relationship between CoQ10 as well and vitamin C. Vitamin C, well known to help build up that gum tissue as well. And so in oral health, it's been known for quite some time and used. And I think if we make one more connection there, that sometimes we think about our oral health now as a reflection into heart health. And so I'm sure we'll come on to heart health, but just to get back to our point about fertility, it's well studied as well in terms of fertility. And so if we think about the energy and the power that the sperm need to be able to swim to penetrate the egg, the mitochondria in the middle of the sperm, so in the sperm tail, to be able to fuel them forward, they need this CoQ10, because they've got to fuel, give that mitochondria that's really working hard enough raw material to be able to obviously work as well as it can, obviously ultimately swim as well and as fast as it can in males. And in females, it's also been well studied. And particularly, there's a really good study out there for women that was undergoing fertility treatment. And so they had a placebo and undertaking the treatment. And then they had obviously a group there as well that was also taking CoQ10. And so they found the rates of pregnancy increased with taking the CoQ10. So brilliant study. And obviously just kind of that sign of hope as well. And a consideration, would it be supportive if obviously, you know, you're trying to increase fertility? And certainly going back to my own story, I think had I have known what I know now about CoQ10, that's something that I'd have been looking at in my own struggle to actually conceive quite some years ago.
Sometimes we wish we'd known about things in the past, but now you can use it to help all of your clients in the future. We're talking about CoQ10, and we're going to be talking a lot more with Nicola Sainty after a few messages from our commercial partners.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
You're listening to Dora Walsh on UK Health Radio. On my weekly show, Nutrition for Me, I'm speaking with Nicola Sainty, Education Manager at Revive Active. You can find out more about them on reviveactive.com. And we do have a special offer. If you use Radio 15 at the checkout, you'll get 15% off anything that you're interested in ordering. Nicola, we're talking about CoQ10, and we're talking about it because we want to get the message out there, because a lot of people know about all of these other famous supplements and forgetting about CoQ10, which has so many different uses in the body, from energy to support chronic fatigue, as an antioxidant, heart health, for pro-aging, for vision, for the brain, for our teeth, and also for fertility. Now, that list truly shows how we can use CoQ10 everywhere in our body. So if I ask you who'd benefit from CoQ10, it sounds like the answer is everyone.
I think you've just encapsulated that in one, Dora. And I think if we just look at some stats, I mean, it's just, again, it's quite incredible, really. And this has probably been the case for quite some years now, but still the leading cause of death globally are cardiovascular diseases. And obviously all the ones that are in that group and make that up. And so that represents about 32% of global deaths, of all global deaths. And that's a third. It is incredible, really, when we look at that stat. And so, unfortunately, you know, this is a declining picture in terms of health, because this has been an upward curve for quite some years now, in fact, decades. And so, you know, we seem to be living for longer, but I would question then, are we living healthier? I don't think so. You know, and then if we look at the other diseases there, we've got the neurodegenerative diseases, we've got things like COPD. And so, when we go even peel back just from those big headlines, what goes wrong before we develop those, or before we get diagnosed those? We've got, you know, this oxidative stress that's going on inside the body. We've got this inflammation, you know, and if we think about other comorbidities such as diabetes type 2, the lifestyle-driven diabetes, so not referring to type 1, this is significantly increased again over the last 20 years. And again, just looking now, I think it was 2021, we had about 550 million of adults globally diabetic type 2. And by 2030, just 6 years from now, that's expected to rise and reach 643 million. So again, we were even projecting for the future for things to get worse in terms of health decline. And just kind of linking back to heart health, thinking about diabetes, we know that diabetes, you know, obviously over time can start to really affect the heart and vascular system, and the tissue, and obviously the blood flow. And so that kind of links up that. And then when we're thinking now about heart health, and you know, it is the leading cause of death. And so for me, the question always goes back to, well, how can we get that? What can we factor, can we put into place to be able to obviously try and avoid obviously just these chronic and really unfortunate diseases? And clearly CoQ10 is absolutely the heart of things, pardon the pun, as well as all the other things that we'd normally talk about, the therapies, the lifestyle, the diet, etc., absolutely foundational. But then when we think about CoQ10, and we said that it was discovered, didn't we, in beef heart tissue, and it was discovered there because it's ubiquitous, it's right across the body, but it's really dense in these energy-hungry organs. So going back to the heart, the most energy-hungry organ in the body. And if we just think about when we, the heart, and sends that blood right around our body, about the fourth the heart requires to be able to pump that blood, you know, because we're going against gravity as well, aren't we, often? So it needs incredible force. And so if you think about really kind of giving a tennis ball a really, really good hard squeeze and watching it back up again, we need that force for the heart to be able to compress, to pop back up again, to give that force for the blood to pump out. And of course, to be able to do that, we need plenty of mitochondria, and we need more so plenty of CoQ10 to be able to provide raw material to fuel the mitochondria and give it the substance that it needs to be able to pump out. And so for me, you know, this is just profound and crucial, I think, that we should be looking at, and particularly, you know, as we start to see that CoQ10 depleting from the age of 30. So going back to your original question, in almost, you know, doesn't, you know, really want to be considering CoQ10. I think if you're in your 20s and, you know, you're very healthy, I think you can kind of put your wallet back in your pocket and you're quite safe there. But I think kind of 30 plus, it's something that we do need to be considering. And particularly if you're feeling any outward signs, like I said earlier, you know, this breathlessness, you're feeling just much more fatigued and you can't get to the root of it, even from exercise. You know, we're not being able to exercise like we used to, maybe say the year before, you know, and we're not recovering as well from exercise. We might have the muscle pains, muscle cramp, muscle fatigue, general fatigue. And so really kind of going back to things that we might be able to physically feel or even see, obviously, in that outward appearance as well, and that decline would give us that nod to think to ourselves, do we need to be thinking now about CoQ10?
I'm so glad you talked about all these points, especially about the heart health, because as you mentioned, so many people are suffering from conditions of the heart or dying because of that. Do you know anything about, you know, these people that have high cholesterol and are prescribed statins? What is the relationship between statins and CoQ10?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. Absolutely brilliant question. And ultimately, those two kind of are often talked about together, because when people are on statins, this kind of really reduces that cholesterol production. But the actual pathway that it uses to be able to do that is what we also use that same pathway to be able to produce our own CoQ10. And so obviously, if we kind of block this pathway off or really kind of reduce this pathway, what we're also doing is reducing our own capacity to be able to make our CoQ10. And so people on statins can often complain, can't they, of this muscle pain, this fatigue, and they'll often say they just literally feel completely drained almost. The muscles, the limb feel heavy. And so this for me would be a clear sign then their CoQ10 stores are, depleted and obviously would need kind of the extra repletion and to be able to actually start functioning at a normal level again, you know, and saturating the body with it to become optimal. And so I would see that relationship there. And I do believe that many years ago that it was recommended when people was taking statins that they also took a CoQ10 for that very reason. And I believe now even in Canada, it's still actually on the packaging of statin medication that it should be taken alongside a CoQ10 supplement. And so that for me, obviously, is that clear link there. And, you know, as a safety thing out there, there's no personal recommendations here. I think you've always got to go back to your healthcare practitioner if you're on any medication and obviously get their view. But certainly that would be my view. And there's so much research out there in terms of, benefits in taking CoQ10 when people are also on statin medication. And actually, statins are one of the most globally prescribed medicine as well. And so again, if we kind of link that back up with this, obviously the heart disease is a leading cause of death with this huge prescription of statin. But then obviously, you know, we need to think about how could we help, if you like, regenerate those mitochondria and those CoQ10 stores that may be being depleted here.
The last question would be to ask, I think we talked a bit about it before, but it's good to get these supplements in close to a meal, is that right, to aid the digestion? Should it be a fattier meal?
I would recommend that store. Certainly the research points that way as well. And because CoQ10 is a fatty substance as well itself, then it would be better taken close to a meal. It doesn't have to be with, but close to a meal to be able to obviously get the maximum extraction as well, obviously, from that supplement. So obviously, maximum benefit for yourself. So the Revive Active just before breakfast might be really beneficial because you've obviously got lots of water-soluble vitamins in there, such as your B complex and your C, etc. And so you kind of want to extract those. But then equally, you know, you've got your soluble plus your big amount of CoQ10, and then kind of just taking that for breakfast would be lovely because then you've got the best of both worlds there. And then if you are taking the standalone ubiquinol, then I would take that with a meal as well for maximum absorption.
Nicola, thanks for joining us on the Nutrition For Me show this week. And listeners, I really hope you've enjoyed listening to the show as much as I've enjoyed presenting it. Today's show is brought to you in association with Revive Active, our show's sponsor, Ireland's number one super supplement brand. Enjoy Revive Active's range of super supplements and feel great. We've teamed up to provide UK Health Radio listeners with 15% off their range. So you can try it for yourself. Just go to reviveactive.com and use Radio 15 to see what feeling super is all about.